We'll now move to question time, and I call Senator Henderson.
Thank you, President. My question is to the Minister representing the Prime Minister, Senator Gallagher. Andrew Clonell at Sky News has today reported he is in possession of leaked government focus group images connected to the Dunkley by-election. Some of the slogans on the images read, "While Albanese is doing anything else, your grocery bills are more expensive." And also, "While Albanese is doing anything else, petrol prices are going through the roof and he's doing nothing about it." Will the Prime Minister admit his own government's focus group material perfectly sums up the appalling record of this government?
Minister Gallagher.
Thank you.
Order.
Thank you, President, and I thank Senator Henderson for the question. And it's great to see in the Parliament of Australia during question time, when the opposition can ask us about anything, they, on Wednesday, first question, have gone to some document supposedly relating to research by a political organisation.
Order.
Senator Henderson asked me a question around Dunkley by-election, and it is an important by-election this Saturday. We have an excellent candidate who's running a great campaign down there, hand-picked by the late Peter Murphy. I mean, what an incredible act of graciousness that she would be looking forward to who's the suitable replacement for her in the seat of Dunkley. And whilst you might get obsessed with stories from Sky News, Senator Henderson, we are focused on delivering for Australia, whether that be
Minister,
in our cost of
Minister,
living. Yeah, you don't want to hear about
Minister
that.
Minister Gallagher, please resume your seat. Senator Henderson.
President, a point of order on relevance. I'm asking about the government. Own focus group
Senator
material,
Henderson,
if the Minister could address that question.
The Minister is being directly relevant to your question. Minister, please continue.
Thank you, President. And Senator Henderson, I can't confirm some document that you have heard or understood about on Sky News. What I can confirm is that the tax cut legislation that passed this parliament last night, unanimously, I might point out, delivers a tax cut for every taxpayer in Dunkley. The certainty that they have now for 90% of women taxpayers in Dunkley, they will get a bigger tax cut. Young people in Dunkley will get a tax cut. Well, I'm merely reflecting the decision of
Senator
the Senate
Cash.
Last night, President, delivering tax cuts, delivering cost of living relief, whether it be our investments in energy, you oppose, childcare, you oppose, urgent care, cleaning.
Thank you, Minister.
Our
the time
health.
For answering has expired. Senator Henderson, first supplementary.
Thanks, President. Minister, the focus group material also contains the words, "Anthony Albanese has the wrong priorities. He's wasted a year talking about his voice referendum or spending time overseas." Will the Prime Minister admit that his own government's focus group material is a completely accurate reflection of the PM's conduct since being elected?
Order. I'm not going to call the minister until there's silence in the chamber. Particularly, I've just given a statement about unruly behaviour. Minister Gallagher.
Thank you, President. What I can confirm, and I work very closely with the Prime Minister, that he spends every minute of every day working for the people of Australia. He remains focused on doing the right thing for the right reasons. He will put people before politics, and Senator Henderson just confirms again what this opposition is like. They'll always go the politics, always. It's their default move. It's the Leader of the Opposition, Peter Dutton's leadership, that means they will always go into the gutters talking about the politics, not about the things that matter for the people of Dunkley, which is how this government is focused on making their lives easier by relieving cost of living pressures where we can without adding to inflation. I note that you haven't asked me a question yet on inflation. I hope it's coming. And making sure that those tax cuts get delivered on the 1st of July with an excellent candidate in Jody Bellier, who will continue the amazing Peter Murphy's
thank you,
legacy.
Minister. The time for answering has expired. Senator Henderson, second supplementary.
Thank you, President. Minister, the focus group material also contains the words, "While Albanese is doing anything else, rents are going up." And this by-election, send Airbus Albo a message. Does the Prime Minister agree with his own government's focus group material and that the voters of Dunkley should send him a message this Saturday?
Thank you, Senator Henderson. I'm waiting to call the minister and I'm waiting for silence. Minister Gallagher.
Thank you very much, President. And Senator Henderson confirms yet again what we know of this opposition. Always out there to divide, always out there to stoke the bear, always there to
Order.
Go for the politics,
Order.
Never on the issues that matter. And I'm confident that the people of Dunkley will recognise that this government has focused on meeting all of the pressures that households are dealing with today,
Order
whether it be investments
left.
In Medicare, whether it be dealing with the energy transition, whether it be generating jobs, whether it be managing inflation, whether it's about getting the budget back in shape, whether it's
Minister
about
Gallagher,
rebuilding Medicare after
Minister
you guys
Gallagher,
ruined
please
it.
Please resume your seat. Senator Henderson.
I'm asking about the message, rents are going up. Could the minister please answer the question in relation to this
messaging? I believe
messaging?
The minister is being relevant to your question, Senator Henderson. Minister, please continue.
Thank you for the prompt, Senator Henderson, which is why we invested in historic amounts of Commonwealth rent assistance to provide relief, why we have invested
Minister,
$25 billion.
Minister, please resume. Senator Cash, withdraw that comment.
I withdraw the comment.
Thank you. Minister Gallagher, please continue.
And why we've invested $25 billion in addressing some of the housing shortage that we have inherited from a decade of a government that couldn't care less about housing
thank
for
Thank you,
Australians.
Minister. The time for answering has expired. Senator Walsh.
Thank you, President. My question is to the Minister representing the Treasurer, Senator Gallagher. Last night, the Albanese Labor government delivered on its commitment to give all Australian taxpayers a tax cut from the 1st of July by passing legislation with unanimous support in this Senate. As a result, all taxpayers in my state of Victoria will get a tax cut on July 1. Can the minister outline what the unanimous vote of this Senate will mean for Australian taxpayers and how the Albanese Labor government's tax cuts will provide tangible relief to struggling households, in addition to the other cost of living relief measures delivered by this government?
Thank you, Senator Walsh. Minister Gallagher.
Thank you, President. I thank Senator Walsh for the question and for the role she plays in supporting and adding to the government's economic policy. On July 1 this year, the Albanese Labor government will deliver a tax cut for every Australian taxpayer. That's 13.6 million people. Our number one priority is addressing inflation and cost of living pressures. We know people are doing it tough, but our tax cuts will deliver a bigger tax cut for middle Australia to help with their cost of living. This builds on our targeted relief while not adding to inflation. Already we've delivered electricity bill relief, which those opposite oppose, making medicines cheaper, again, those opposite oppose, making it easier and cheaper to see a doctor through the much-needed investments in Medicare, cheaper childcare and expanding paid parental leave, building more social and affordable homes, increasing rent assistance, our fee-free TAFE investments and wages rising for the fastest rate for a decade, including minimum wage and aged care workers. And yes, Senator Rustin, we
Senator
have
Rustin.
Had real wages growth. Of those, 3 million people, we've done that as well. 86%
Order.
Of taxpayers will get a bigger tax cut than they would have under the plan Scott Morrison legislated 5 years ago. Tasmania, around 280,000 people in Tasmania will get a tax cut. In Western Australia, it's about 1.5 million. In South Australia, around 900,000. New South Wales, 4.3 million. Queensland, around 2.8 million. All getting a tax cut thanks to the Albanese Labor government and the tax changes that passed this parliament unanimously, I know you don't want to talk about it, last night.
Thank you, Minister. Senator Walsh, first supplementary.
Thank you, President. Minister, as we know, many Australians are still facing cost of living pressures and the inflation challenge is not over. Today, the release of the monthly inflation data showed that CPI was 3.4% through the year to January, unchanged from December. Can the minister please outline the economic challenges that meant this tax cut plan was the right decision at the right time?
Thank you, Senator Walsh. Minister Gallagher.
And I thank Senator Walsh for the supplementary. Well, the economic conditions remain challenging, with lingering inflation due to the pandemic-related supply chain disruptions, the war in Ukraine and global uncertainty from the conflict in the Middle East. I know, you don't want to hear it. You don't want to actually hear the facts. Despite the challenges facing Australians, the Albanese government has the right economic plan to ease cost of living pressures on households, to navigate those challenges we face and maximise the opportunities of the year ahead. And can I say, today's CPI results show that we continue to make welcome and encouraging progress in the inflation challenge, and that the government's policies are helping, but it is not mission accomplished because people are still under pressure. Cost of living and the fight against inflation remains our highest priority, but the ABS statistics have shown that our cost of living plan is helping to directly reduce inflation across the economy.
Thank you, Minister. Senator Walsh, second supplementary.
Thank you. This morning, the Shadow Minister for Finance said that the Liberal Nationals would, and I quote, go back to the drawing board. Minister, how will Labor's tax cuts plan provide more benefit to Australians facing cost of living challenges when compared with the former Morrison government's plan?
Order. 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 Minister Gallagher.
Thank you, President. I thank Senator Walsh for the supplementary. And we did hear those comments from the Shadow Minister for Finance this morning. We will have to go back to the drawing board. Well, one thing we know is you can't trust the Leader of the Opposition on tax.
Order.
You can't trust
Order.
The Leader of the Opposition on
Minister
tax.
Minister Gallagher.
We know when he
Minister.
Was master. We remember he was
a Minister Gallagher, please resume your seat. Order across the chamber. Order. Senator Watt. Minister Gallagher, please continue.
That's right. Thank you, President. When we first announced the revised tax plan, remember it was going to be rollback, it was going to be abolished. Remember there was a call for an election over it. Let's call an election. And then what? Oh, actually.
Order.
No, it's okay. We might vote for them. And we know you can't trust Peter Dutton. You can't trust the Leader of the Opposition. We remember the GP tax. We remember him saying that there was too many free services on Medicare. We know what this means. Cuts to services and a rollback
of tax.
Thank
you, Minister. The time for answering has expired. Senator Birmingham, I'm going to ask you to withdraw your comment and then I'll invite you to ask your question.
I withdraw, President.
Thank you.
President, my question is to the Minister representing the Prime Minister, Senator Gallagher. News reports today show that earlier this month, Immigration Minister Andrew Giles personally intervened in an immigration detention matter to release a convicted criminal who had deep affiliations with the Australian Labor Party. Mr Safwat Abdul-Hadi was initially convicted for spiking drinks with intent to commit an act of indecency, which on retrial became a conviction for a lesser charge. He was convicted of multiple assaults and subjected to an apprehended violence order. He was also a close associate of former Prime Minister Bob Hawke, and in 2013 was granted a visa under the then Labor government despite failing the character test. Why did Minister Giles personally intervene to ensure that Mr Abdul-Hadi was treated differently to the NZYQ cohort and released without monitoring and curfew conditions?
Thank you, Senator Birmingham. Minister Gallagher.
Thank you. Well, Senator Austin, yes. I mean, we do try and get together and think about what questions might be asked. We do prepare. We take this seriously. But can I say—
Minister Gallagher, please resume your seat. Senator Rustin, I've called you several times already during question time. I'm asking you to listen in silence. Minister Gallagher.
Thank you, President. I can confirm that this individual is not part of the NZYQ cohort, and we continue to take every possible step to deport people who have no right to stay in this country. The matter is currently before the court, so I won't be going into any individual matters. I do draw the Senate's attention to the comments of the judge in the most recent hearing, who said there appears to be a very fixed view on the part of the minister to be rid of this man.
Oh.
He is right. And I would also point out to the chamber that those opposite had 5 years to remove this individual,
yep.
And surprise, surprise, they didn't do it.
The
opposition leader
Order.
Not only holds the record as the worst
Order.
Health minister in 35 years, but we have now had three reports by three eminent Australians, former public servants, who have uncovered and highlighted the system of neglect and maladministration that existed in the Home Affairs portfolio under his watch. And while he will have you believe he was the tough cop on the beat, these three reports say otherwise. They show a failed migration system full of problems. It uncovered significant abuses of sexual exploitation, human trafficking and other organised crime. Dr. Parkinson found that it was a deliberate decision to neglect the system, that it was so badly broken it required a 10-year rebuild. That was the finding of Dr. Parkinson. And I can go on, because the opposition's record in this area is full
of failure.
Thank
you, Minister. The time for answering has expired. Senator Birmingham, first supplementary.
Thanks, President. Well, contrary to what the minister has said, the Department of Home Affairs warned that Mr. Abdul Hadi was likely affected by the High Court's decision in the NZYQ case. But instead of him being released under the strict visa conditions of a bridging visa R, he was released under a bridging visa E. Why did Minister Giles choose to intervene and choose to give him a more lenient visa? And has Minister Giles intervened in any other cases that he is keeping secret?
Thank you, Senator Birmingham. Minister Gallagher.
Thank you. And I would thank you, President. I would remind the chamber of, and I don't have the quote in front of me, but I do recall it when the Leader of the Opposition drew to a journalist's attention that the Immigration Minister is the most litigated minister in any government. So there are always a number of cases underway that involve the Minister for Immigration. In terms of the matter raised by the Leader of the Opposition in the Senate, this matter is currently before the court,
Order.
So I am not going to go into individual matters, individual circumstances. I would say that the Minister is seeking to deport this individual, and again, that there was 5 years for this to have been done to remove the individual. Well, his visa got cancelled, Senator Henderson, as I understand it, and he's been in detention.
The time for answering has expired. Senator Birmingham, second supplementary.
Thanks, President. Well, indeed, in 2017, then Immigration Minister Mr. Peter Dutton did cancel Mr. Abdul Hadi's visa.
Oh.
Yet this week, the now Immigration Minister Mr. Giles has put him on a visa that lets him back out on the street without strict conditions. Does Mr. Giles or the government know where Mr. Abdul Hadi is now? And how long will he now be in the Australian community because of Minister Giles's decision?
Before I call Senator Gallagher, I am going to wait for silence, particularly on my left. Minister Gallagher.
Thank you. Well, I don't accept the proposition that the Leader of the Opposition in the Senate has just put to me. The matter is before the court. I would draw those opposite who are now frothing at the mouth about this that you did nothing for 5 years. 5 years. 5 years, nothing.
Order.
Five
Order.
Years, you did nothing. And I would also say,
Minister Gallagher, please resume your seat. Order. Please continue, Minister.
Thank you. And to use a quote from Peter Dutton, the Leader of the Opposition, I'm not going to comment on individual cases. Okay? And so it is in a reasonable position. The matter is before the court. The minister, the judge has drawn to our, as I said in the quote, there appears to be a very fixed view on the part of the minister to be rid of this man, and the judge is right.
Thank you, Minister. Senator McKim.
Thanks very much, President. My question is to the Minister representing the Treasurer and the Prime Minister, Senator Gallagher. Minister, you've repeatedly refused to acknowledge that some corporations in Australia are engaged in profiteering or price gouging. However, at Senate estimates a couple of weeks ago, the Governor of the Reserve Bank of Australia, Ms Bullock, agreed that some corporations are using a lack of competition and the cover of high inflation to hike prices above what is required to meet increases in their input costs. Ms Bullock joins growing consensus amongst economists, including the OECD, the IMF, the Central Reserve Bank, the Bank of England, the Federal Reserve, the Australia Institute and former ACCC Chair Mr Alan Fells, that corporations are price gouging to boost their profits in a cost of living crisis, which is making inflation worse. Will you finally accept the truth?
Thank you, Senator McKim. Minister Gallagher.
Thank you. Well, I reject the interjection from Senator Rustin that she's, I know it's unparliamentary, but I just want to put on the record. Thank you, Senator McKim. We have had quite a lot of discussion about this over many years. Thank you, Senator Rustin. Sorry, Madam President, it is quite distracting.
Yes, Senator Rustin. I have called Senator Rustin to order a number of times.
It is.
Order.
Chief Tippin.
Order. Order. Minister Gallagher. Minister Gallagher, please resume your seat. Please resume your seat. Order. Order across the chamber. Minister, please continue.
Hey, Simon.
Thank you. And whilst we want companies to be profitable in this country because that's good for the economy, it's good for jobs, we also don't want anyone to be ripped off. And that's why you know, the government, when we're looking at our competition policy, we're looking at ways and the work that's been done by Dr Andrew Lee, but also the work that has been commissioned by the Treasurer, particularly the ACCC inquiry, the work that Dr Craig Emerson is doing in terms of the grocery code, to make sure that the settings are right and that we are protecting consumers' interests. You know, I think we've all been to the supermarkets and we've all been to the shops and seen price escalation, and you know, the government is concerned and wanting to make sure that our settings are right, which is why that work is being undertaken. You know, but I don't agree that it's as black and white as you believe. I don't want to misquote. I don't want to misquote
Order.
The governor, but I don't believe it's as black and white as you would argue, Senator McKim, that it's all about companies doing the wrong thing. I think there's a number of inputs into inflation. And we are mindful of our responsibilities to act where we can, and I think those reviews that have been ordered by the assistant to the Treasurer and the Treasurer are a good way of monitoring that and making recommendations or acting on recommendations.
Senator McKim, first supplementary.
Thanks, President. Minister, people are skipping meals as food and grocery prices skyrocket while Coles and Woolies report billion-dollar profits. The ACCC has said that divestiture powers would increase competition and lower the cost of food and groceries. The Prime Minister recently dismissed divestiture powers as a Soviet Union policy. Is the Prime Minister aware that that well-known command and control economy, the United States of America, has had divestiture powers for over 130 years?
Senator McKim, the time for answering has expired. Minister Gallagher.
Thank you. Well, I'm not aware of the Prime Minister's in relation to the specifics of the question. I can't answer that, but I can answer that the government is not looking. We're not looking at divestiture powers at this stage. That is not in our thinking, and I think the reviews that have been sought or put in place, the ACCC is a highly effective organisation that has strong consumer backing, it has strong powers, it's got the ability to call for information, as you know, from our discussions with the chair of the ACCC at Estimates, and I think we should await their work alongside the work that Dr Emerson is doing and the work that Dr Andrew Lee is leading through the government.
Thank you, Minister. Senator McKim, second supplementary.
Minister, over the last decade, Labor has taken over $100 million in donations from corporations, many in industries that are highly concentrated and currently under fire for price gouging, including from the supermarket duopoly. Corporations do not give money away for nothing. Are those donations the reason Labor is refusing to consider divestiture powers, which would create the power to break up price gouging monopolies and duopolies like the supermarket corporations?
Thank you, Senator McKim. The time for asking has expired. Minister.
Well, I said yesterday there isn't a question that the Greens political party can't add political donations to in this chamber. It's quite a skill. It's quite a skill to make every single issue in public policy related to political donations.
Minister, please resume your seat. Senator McKim. And I believe Senator McKenzie, although I will apologise if it wasn't you shouting out. Right. I'm calling the chamber to order. Minister, please continue.
Thank you. We have electoral laws in this country. We have donation law in this country. Political parties, all of them, including yourselves, I presume, abide by those laws. But to suggest that because there are political donations that it has consequences in all the areas that you raise every single day is simply not supported by any evidence. And you never, ever bring any evidence in to support the position.
Senator
it's just
McKim.
About besmirching and smearing and trying to take some sort of moral high ground. If you're going to push this, actually deliver and bring in the evidence to support it.
Thank you, Minister. The time for answering has expired. Senator Payman.
Thank you, President. My question is to Minister Watt, representing the Minister for Youth. Senator Watt. We know that the cost of living is one of the biggest concerns for young Australians. Last night, the Senate passed Labor's tax cuts, a plan that will benefit every Australian taxpayer. Minister, how will Labor's tax cuts benefit young Australians and ease their cost of living pressures?
Thank you, Senator Payman. Minister Watt.
Thank you, President. And thank you, Senator Payman, who, as well as being a highly effective senator, is a young senator and a recently married senator. So congratulations, Senator Payman, on your recent marriage. We're all very happy for you. The Albanese government is delivering for young Australians, building on the first budget surplus in 15 years to responsibly ease cost of living pressures without adding to inflation. Because of our policies, Australians are earning more, with real wages increasing and keeping more of what they earn thanks to Labor's cost of living tax cuts. That includes more than 3 million Australians aged between 18 to 29 who will directly benefit from our tax cuts. In fact, with Labor's tax cuts now passing the Senate, 98% of young Australians will now get a bigger tax cut than what they would have had under the plan put forward by the opposition. Last year, we undertook nationwide consultation with young Australians on the issues that matter most to them. We ran 58 consultations, reaching thousands of young people across our communities. This consultation reaffirmed that the issue of cost of living is front of mind for young people right now. We are responding decisively to what we have heard to ease the pressure facing young working Australians. For the 1.5 million young taxpayers between the age of 18 to 24, they will now receive an average tax cut of $1,007 a year under Labor's tax plan. And a further 1.6 million taxpayers aged 25 to 29 will receive an average tax cut of $1,573 a year. These tax cuts are good for young people, they are good for middle Australia, and they're good for the economy. And they're very different to what we saw on offer from the opposition. Unlike the former government, we are listening to young Australians and we're responding swiftly to what they are telling us is most important to them. We're investing in housing, we've lifted rent assistance, we're lifting wages, and now we're delivering tax cuts as well.
Thank you, Minister Watt. The time for answering has expired. Senator Payman, first supplementary.
Thank you, President. We know the number one issue for young people right now is cost of living, and that many young Australians are having making difficult choices to balance study, work and everyday living expenses. How will the Albanese Labor government's tax cuts ease cost of living pressures that young people are facing and put more money in their pockets?
Thank you, Senator Payman. Minister Watt.
Thank you, President. And thank you, Senator Payman. Our government knows that no young Australians should have to make the choice between work, study or paying their rent. That is why we're acting to provide responsible cost of living relief. A young person juggling part-time study while working, earning, say, $30,000 a year, will receive a tax cut of $354 under Labor's tax plan. Under the opposition's plan, they would have got zero, absolutely nothing. Cutting taxes for middle Australia is a central part of our economic plan, along with getting wages moving again, bringing inflation under control and driving fairer prices for Australian consumers. Under Labor, wage growth is double what it averaged under the Liberals and Nationals. The Liberals and Nationals spent a wasted decade in government keeping young Australians' wages low, a deliberate design feature of their economic architecture. Mr Dutton has consistently opposed cost of living measures and he wants Australians to work longer for less. Time and time again he's shown that he can only say no, dividing all Australians.
Thank you, Minister. Their time for answering has expired. Senator Payman, second supplementary.
Minister, this morning, the morning after the Senate passed Labor's tax cuts, Senator Hume promised that if elected, the Liberals and Nationals will go back to the drawing board on tax cuts. Why is it important that young Australians earn more and keep more of what they earn under the Albanese Labor government's plan?
Order. I'm going to wait for silence before I call the minister. Minister Watt.
Thank you, President. Senator Payman, you are absolutely right. We want young Australians to earn more and keep more of what they earn, and Labor's tax cuts will help make that happen. They'll make a real difference to young people's lives right now. But what is the Coalition position? Because it just keeps on changing. Yesterday, I mentioned that Shadow Treasurer Angus Taylor had revealed he is targeting the workplace protections we've delivered for young and older workers. Well, now Senator Hume has let the cat out of the bag too. She told Sunrise this morning that, quote, we will go back to the drawing board on tax cuts. Oh, Jane, you've done it again. Talk about letting it slip. Of course, it's exactly what Mr Dutton and Ms Lay have been saying as well for the past month. They were opposing it, then they were going to roll it back, then they let it through, and Senator Hume has made clear today that it's back to the drawing board when it comes to the tax cuts. They want to rip money out of the pockets of young people in places like Frankston while cutting their pay and conditions at the same time.
Order.
You can't trust the opposition. They always want young
you,
people
Minister
to work
Watt.
More and earn
thank
less.
Thank you, Minister Watt. The time for answering has expired. Senator Roberts.
Thank you, President. My question is to the Minister representing the Prime Minister, Senator Gallagher. This week, the Queensland Supreme Court found that measures relating to COVID were mandated on a number of Queensland workers, in this case police officers and ambulance workers, without adequate consideration of their human rights, as required under the Queensland Human Rights Act. Clearly, this failure is not isolated to Queensland, given the Queensland Government's approach was applied through the National Cabinet, of which the Commonwealth is a member and chair. Minister, does the Prime Minister accept vaccine mandates were the National Cabinet's mistake?
Minister Gallagher.
Thank you, President. I thank Senator Roberts for the question, and I am aware of that court case which has been recently handed down in relation to vaccination for police and ambulance workers in Queensland. This is a decision of a Queensland court that relates to a vaccine mandate that was a decision of the Queensland government. The government's position on COVID-19 vaccinations is that it is voluntary, as are all vaccinations in Australia, although we do encourage and aim to have as many people vaccinated as possible. And I would say that the vaccination program, there is no doubt the success of the vaccination program in Australia and the number of Australians who got
Order.
Vaccinated, particularly in those early waves, protected hundreds of thousands of vulnerable Australians, millions of vulnerable Australians, Australians in aged care, Australians who had a disability, immunocompromised Australians who were protected
Senator Rennick.
By
Minister,
the fact
please resume
that
your seat.
We were able to manage.
Please resume your seat. Senator Rennick, I've called you to order and you continue to shout out. This is not your question. at Senator Roberts's question, and the minister has the right to be heard in silence. Minister, please continue. Minister, please resume your seat. Senator Rennick, I have just called you to order, and you continue to completely disrespect me and not follow my direction. Minister Gallagher, please continue.
Thank you. The public health advice on vaccinations remains very clear, that vaccinations prevent seriousness of disease, so the level of illness that you get, it prevents hospitalisations, which allows our health system to deal with other health issues, as it's always meant to, and it protects people from serious disease and death. And so, from the government's point of view, if you're due your COVID-19 booster, go and get it. But it is voluntary, and obviously people will make that decision for themselves. I would also say, when state governments were having to deal with this, with maintaining services and protecting employees in a pandemic, in an emergency, they made some very, very difficult decisions to protect their communities. And National Cabinet supported that, and we support that.
Thank you, Minister. Senator Roberts, first supplementary.
Thank you. Minister, do you acknowledge human rights were ignored as part of the Commonwealth's response to COVID? Do you acknowledge that human rights were ignored as part of the Commonwealth's response to COVID?
Oh, thank you, Senator Roberts. Minister Gallagher.
Thank you, President, and I thank Senator Roberts for the question. I note the court case, the decision that's been made. I think in times of emergency, a pandemic, a 1-in-100-year pandemic, decisions that state governments and the Commonwealth government took were difficult, and they balanced up, as is always the case with human rights, they balanced up a range of factors when landing on making those decisions. You know, that is always the case. Human rights are not absolute. They are seen in imbalance, and I think governments did what they believed was in the best interests of their communities, of protecting Australia, whether it was the border closures, whether it was the vaccines, whether it was closing schools, whether it was having lockdowns. I think the benefit of hindsight, people will always argue whether those decisions were right, but I think the decisions were made in the interests of the community.
Thank you, Minister. Senator Roberts, second supplementary.
Thank you, President. Minister, does the Prime Minister agree that only a Royal Commission has the resources and the powers to fully deal with the legal consequences from this failure to respect human rights?
Thank you, Senator Roberts. Minister.
Well, as Senator Roberts knows, we have an independent panel that's currently undertaking the COVID-19 response inquiry, and they will bring together the knowledge from all of the existing reviews. There have been a number of reviews that have been done in the states. There have been reviews that have been done in the Commonwealth, about 200 previous relevant inquiries, and we'll make recommendations. That panel is independent. I presume, Senator Rennick and others, that you are making submissions to that. I'm sure you're involved, and I'm sure that the panel will consider your submissions seriously. We believe that in the because of the number of reviews that have been held and the timeframes involved, that the independent panel that has been commissioned by
Senator
by the Prime
Ruston.
Minister will provide us
Senator
with
Ruston.
Good recommendations going forward if there's any further areas we need to address.
Order. Order on my left. I have constantly had to call many of you to order over and over again. Question time is the opportunity for the person who's been granted the question to ask the question and for others to listen in silence. There are other opportunities for you to make your contribution. This is not the time for them. Senator Patterson.
Thank you, Madam President. My question is to the Minister representing the Minister for Home Affairs, Senator Watt. At Senate estimates earlier this month, the Department of Home Affairs confirmed that between 7 October and 31 December, the Department granted 2,127 visitor visas and an additional 148 migration and temporary visas to people with Palestinian identity documents. An ABC report on the 9th of December last year said that some visas were being processed in less than an hour. Can the Minister confirm that adequate security checks were conducted on all of the individuals from Gaza granted visas?
Minister Watt.
Thank you, President, and thank you, Senator Patterson. The short answer to Senator Patterson's question is yes. And I note that this is not the first time this question has been raised by members of the opposition. And in fact, what they are doing is raising questions about a process that is exactly the same under this government as it was under the former government when Mr Dutton was the Home Affairs Minister. So it seems that a process that was okay for Mr Dutton in terms of how visas were approved for people overseas is now not good enough to be applied by a Labor government, done in exactly the same way as it was by Mr Dutton. The fact is that under this government, just as under the former government, all people applying for visas, no matter where they're from, are required to undergo security checks. This has been the case under all governments. But what we're seeing from the opposition is an attempt to whip up fear about people being granted visas if they are seeking to come here, Palestinian residents to come here under visas, in a way that, as I say, the same process that was applied under the former government. All this is showing is that, yet again, the opposition will use conflict overseas, absolutely devastating conflict where we have seen tens of thousands of lives lost. All they will do is whip up fear about that and seek to generate conflict in our community, even over a process that is exactly the same as it was when Mr Dutton was the Home Affairs Minister for himself. Figures that have come from the Department of Home Affairs show that when Mr Dutton was the Home Affairs Minister, he granted more than 500 visas each week to Syrians fleeing the country in 2015, with a total of more than 12,500 visas granted. The former government also approved 5,000 temporary visas for Afghans in just over 1 month in 2021. The same security agencies performed the same security checks on those visa holders as the checks that have been performed for just 2,273 Palestinian granted visas over 17 weeks.
Thank you, Minister. The time for answering has expired. Senator Patterson, first supplementary.
Thank you, Madam President. On the 22nd of February, Sky News reported that one of the individuals granted a visa and already living in Australia expressed support for the horrific terrorist attack perpetrated by Hamas on October 7. How was it that this person was granted a visa if sufficient checks were supposedly conducted, as you have just said?
Thank you, Senator Patterson. Minister Watt.
Well, President, it would almost be as if there's a close relationship between the opposition and Sky News, based on the questions that we've had here today. I mean, we know that all of you beat the door down in order to beat each other into the Sky News studio 10 times a day. And it would hello all of my friends in Sky News. You're obviously now drafting questions for the opposition, a bit of a promotional campaign for Sky News from Senator Patterson and his colleagues.
Order.
But again, the point is that the process that is being used to grant Palestinian visas is exactly the same process that was used when Mr Dutton was the Home Affairs Minister and when he approved visas coming from other conflict zones around the world, places like Syria, places like Afghanistan. And I think not only is it clear that the opposition will do whatever it takes to whip up fear in the community, but they will also go on the attack against our national security agencies, because we rely on the advice of national security agencies in making visa decisions, and that's not good enough for the shadow Home Affairs
you,
Minister.
Minister Watt. Senator Patterson, second supplementary.
Thank you, Madam President. What assurances can the Minister provide Australians that no more Hamas supporters have been or will be led into Australia on your watch?
Minister Watt.
Thank you, President, and thank you, Senator Patterson. The assurance I can give all Australians is that the Albanese government relies on the advice of our national security agencies in making decisions like this, in making decisions about visas that are granted, in respecting our national security agencies and the advice that they provide, rather than trying to play politics with national security matters, which is something that, let's face it, Mr Dutton has done his entire political career. He only has one trick, and that is to whip up fear based on
Order.
National security matters, whether they're right or whether they're wrong. He thinks nothing of using our national
Order.
Security agencies and their personnel as political pawns in his game. We, on the other hand, actually respect our national security agencies. We have confidence in them to make the right decisions and provide the right advice. Rather than coming into the chamber before running into the Sky News studio, which you'll all be racing to do straight after question time's over, that's what the priority for the opposition is, rather than actually treating national security measures seriously. And for a man who says that he treats national
you,
security
Senator
seriously, I'm surprised by Senator Patterson.
Expired. Senator Thorpe.
My question is to the Minister representing the Minister for Indigenous Australians, Minister Gallagher.
2 weeks ago, your government announced it will establish a National Commissioner for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Children and Young People to help finally achieve progress under Closing the Gap. Target 12 under Closing the Gap concerns removal of First Nations children. The solutions on how to reduce child removals have been presented in the 1997 Bringing Them Home report. Currently, no entity holds responsibility for overviewing the implementation of the report recommendations. Is the new commissioner intended to be responsible for this overview?
Thank you, Senator Thorpe. Minister Gallagher.
Thank you, President. I thank Senator Thorpe for the question. And I will come back with further information if I'm not able to fully answer the question that you've asked. The Commissioner's work will be focusing on reducing the number of children in out-of-home care, strengthening families and keeping children and young people safe. An interim Commissioner will begin work mid-year. Resourcing is obviously being provided for that. And as you say, there have been a number of reports into child protection since the Bringing Them Home report in 2007. And I think the feedback that the Minister for Indigenous Affairs, Indigenous Australians has is that First Nations people want action, not more reports. And so this is a very significant announcement to have a commissioner. Certainly in the years that I was involved in child protection and in out-of-home care.
Minister, please resume your seat. Senator Thorpe.
Relevance.
Is that your
point? Are the recommendations going to be used as part of the Commissioner's role?
Thank you, Senator Thorpe. The Minister is being relevant, and she also undertook, if she wasn't able to fully answer your question, she would seek further information, but she's being relevant. Minister Gallagher.
I will come back, but to Senator Thorpe, if there is more information than I'm able to provide her today. But one of the points I made was that there have been a number of reports, including the Bringing Them Home report, which have a number of recommendations. And I think certainly I would believe there's an expectation that the Commissioner is looking at all of those recommendations, and that would inform the work that needs to be done. You know, this is an area that has been fraught for a long time, the issue just generally child protection across the community, but particularly for First Nations children in out-of-home care, and how to provide appropriate support to them and their families and arrangements, you know, to support them as best as they can. I know that from first experience as being a child protection minister for a few years. If there is more that I can provide, Senator Thorpe, in terms of how they would implement
the
recommendations, I will bring that back.
The time for answering has expired. Senator Thorpe, first supplementary.
Has the government costed what is required to provide oversight and monitoring of the implementation of the Bringing Them Home recommendations?
Thank you, Senator Thorpe. Minister Gallagher.
Well, certainly there has been assessment of resourcing for this role, and that will be provided. Obviously, you know, and the government will, of course, make sure that those resources are available for the commissioner to do their work and adequately resource them to do their work. That goes without saying. In terms of the broader recommendations in Bringing Them Home, you know, and I'm not trying to shift responsibility here, but there is work that is done across states and territories. Well, they do have responsibility for the child protection systems. The Commonwealth doesn't run those, want to work with them. I mean, Senator Thorpe, we want to work with them. We want to ensure that the Commissioner's role is effective, and that they are able to focus on the issues that First
Minister
Nations
Gallagher,
people
Minister Gallagher,
have raised.
Minister Gallagher, please resume your seat. Are you on a question, a point of order, Senator Thorpe?
The question was, has the government costed what is required to provide oversight?
And the minister has been relevant to your question. I'm not sure if she has anything more to add in the 6 seconds remaining, but I'll invite her.
Well, we have assessed the costing for the commissioner. I said I would come back on further information if I had it about the resourcing
Thank
for
you,
oversight
minister, the
recommendations.
Time for answering has expired. Senator Thorpe, second supplementary.
Which targets of closing your gap does the government seek to most urgently progress through this new commissioner role?
Thank you, Senator Thorpe. Minister Gallagher.
Thank you. Well, we know that First Nations children are almost 11 times more likely to come into contact with child protection systems, and that the proportion of First Nations children in out-of-home care is 43%. So this commissioner, and they will have ability to make decisions themselves, so we need to get the commissioner in place. The Minister for Indigenous Australians will work with that commissioner, I think, to ensure the scope of their responsibilities and make sure that we are consulting with relevant stakeholders about it. We want this national commissioner. It's been called for. We're putting it in place. We want it to work. This is a whole of country issue that involves governments at every level, and we remain committed to reducing the numbers of children in out-of-home care and supporting First Nations families, particularly those that have contact with the child protection system.
Thank you, Minister. Senator Thorpe, your time has finished. The clock's wound down. Thank you, Senator Thorpe. I'm going to move to Senator Grogan. Senator Grogan.
Thank you, President. My question is to the Minister for Women, Senator Gallagher. Since Labor was elected to government, we've seen significant steps forward in government policies that support economic prosperity for women. This comes after a decade of inaction and disregard for Australian women by the former coalition government. Labor's tax cut plan that passed the parliament last night will mean millions of Australian women will get a bigger tax cut than they would have seen under the former Morrison government's plan. Can the minister outline the policies that the Albanese Labor government has delivered that will benefit women across this country?
Thank you, Senator Grogan. Minister Gallagher.
Thank you, President. I thank Senator Grogan for the question. Excellent question, focusing on women. And we have... It's an excellent question. I'm surprised I don't get any questions about women from those opposite. I don't think I've had any, but not unsurprising. But the tax plan that passed this parliament unanimously, the Senate last night, will mean that every woman paying tax in Australia will get a tax cut. So that's different from the previous plan, where a number of women taxpayers would have missed out. 90% of those women taxpayers will receive an average tax cut of $707. That's additional. This is around 5.8 million women. When we look at those high areas where we have lots of women working in industries, in childcare, in disability, in aged care, it's more than 95% of those taxpayers in those industries will receive a bigger tax cut compared to the former government's plan. Now, we know that women work hard across our economy. We want to ensure that they keep more of what they earn. And that they're able to meet those daily challenges and cost of living pressures they face. Our policies, and this government has made no secret since we came in, of being a government that's focused on the needs of women, that we want to drive economic equality, that gender equality across the economy, that that's good for the economy as a whole, and we are seeing improving results. Gender pay gap is at a record low. Senator Canavan should enjoy that statistic. ABS data last week showed full-time wages dropped to 12%. We don't see that as useless data, I have to say. And we do think that flexibility in the workplace is actually a good thing. We don't think that you have to be a full-time worker in order to have a high-paying job.
Thank you, Minister. The time for answering has expired. Senator Grogan, first supplementary.
Thank you, President. And thank you for that answer. That was very informative. And it's great to see such progress. In contrast to Labor's commitments, we often see our opponents make comments that remind the Australian community that they are not committed to providing women's economic security. And as you have referenced, Minister, yesterday we saw the clear data about the current gender pay gap. Can the Minister explain how the government's suite of policies for Australian women will help to relieve the cost of living pressure and boost their economic prosperity?
Thank you, Senator Grogan. Order. 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 Senator Scar, order. 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 Senator McKenzie, Senator Cash. I'm waiting for order, particularly on my left, but also on my right. Thank you, Senator Coney. Minister Gallagher.
Thank you, President. It is interesting to see what wakes that opposition up every now and again, what really gets them going. It's always the big issues, isn't it? Thank you, Senator Grogan. I got the vibe. I understand
Minister
what it is.
Gallagher. Minister Gallagher, please resume your seat. Order. Order. Order across the chamber. Minister Gallagher, please continue.
Well, the question was around the sweet policy.
Minister Gallagher, please resume your seat. Oh. Senator O'Sullivan, I had just called order. It was not okay for you to then start shouting out again. Minister Gallagher, please continue.
Well, the question was about the government's suite of policies for Australian women and how they help assist and relieve cost of living pressures and boost economic prosperity. And we have made this a key priority of our government. We do believe that the data that was released yesterday on the gender pay gap is useful data, unlike Senator Canavan, who thought
Minister
it was the
Gallagher,
most useless
Minister
set of data. The
Minister Gallagher, please resume your seat. Order. I will come to you, Senator Canavan, just a moment. I want order in the chamber before I do that. Senator Canavan, I haven't called you. I indicated I would come to you. I'm waiting for silence in the chamber. Senator Canavan.
Sorry. Point of order on
sorry,
relevance.
Sorry, Senator Canavan. Senator Watt, I had just restored order. It is not appropriate to then immediately call out again. Senator Canavan is on his feet, and I want to give him the opportunity to make his point of order, Senator Canavan.
Relevance. Given there wasn't a question, it's a bit hard to know if how this answer is actually relevant. I mean, how can an answer be relevant if no question is actually asked?
Senator Canavan, that is not a point of order, but given order. 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 Given that on a number of occasions in this place, order. Minister, I haven't called you. Given that there are a number of times in this place when senators don't get to the final part of the question part of their question, yet the minister is still given the opportunity to answer it. Thank you, Minister.
Thank you. Just on that, before I come to this, the last part of that, Senator, President, I did hear the question being asked. It was those opposite that were drowning it out that meant they didn't hear it, but there was a question asked. But thank you. Senator, I'll go back to where I was. Oh, I've lost all my time now.
Thank you. Senator Grogan. Order. 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 Senator Grogan, second supplementary.
Thank you, President. Minister, you've said many times that what's good for women's economic security is good for the broader economy. How will the investment this government has made in Australian women and Labor's tax cut plan help to strengthen the Australian economy and help women to meet the continuing cost of living pressures that they are facing at this time?
Thank you, Senator Grogan. Minister Gallagher.
Thank you very much. Well, this government does believe that driving gender equality is good for the economy. We are focused on that. You'll see that in the decisions we took on tax. You'll see that also by the changes we made to the tax system that we believe the Treasury advice says it will boost 630,000 additional hours per week worked by women, because they will be keeping more of what they earn. We do believe information being provided about what's happening in businesses is good. We reject Senator Canavan's claim that this data is useless. I think Senator Hughes called it identity politics, and Senator Hume said it was flawed.
But
otherwise, the information apparently is okay. This is data that's been collected for 10 years. It's important data about driving change in workplaces to make sure that women get a fair crack at opportunity in this country.
Senator Canavan.
Thank you, Madam President. My question is to the Minister representing the Minister for Climate Change and Energy, Senator Gallagher. Labor's family car tax could increase the cost of SUVs and utes by up to $25,000, including $11,000 on the RAV4 and nearly $20,000 on a Ford Ranger, according to modelling by the Federal Chamber of Automotive Industries. Your government claims that its car tax is modelled in the United States. But the US corporate average fuel efficiency standard is based on actual fuel efficiency, gallons per mile, not a carbon tax and trading scheme like Labor has proposed. Why is the government claiming it has a fuel efficiency standard when it really is just another form of carbon tax introduced in the middle of a cost of living crisis which will hurt the voters of Dunkley and everyday Australians?
Thank you, Senator Canavan. Minister Gallagher.
Thank you. Well, as I said yesterday, the National Party, smell a scare campaign and they can't wait to get on top of it. They race towards it. Oh, here we go. Here's something that we can drive a bit of fear and disunity and create myths across the community. They love it. They love nothing more than it, especially if it's linked to climate change some way. Right. And that really gets them out of bed in the morning, doesn't it?
Order.
Like, how could we go and take Australia back to when we were in government, back to when there was no change, back to when there was 22 energy policies and you didn't land one of them, when ministers lost their jobs if they even looked sideways at doing anything supportive on climate. And as we know, this has meant we are years behind on the energy transition, years behind trying to seize the jobs and the growth that will come from the renewable energy transition on the new vehicle efficiency standard. The government is consulting on a model. That's what we're doing. We are getting feedback on that. There are options in the consultation document. The minister is talking directly with industry manufacturers, with the Australian CEOs, as part of
Senator McKenzie.
And we thank them for their engagement. That process will continue until the 4th of March, as I understand it, and then the government will consider those consultations. But we are 85% of the global car market is covered by fuel efficiency standards. Yep. We know that Josh Frydenberg said we've always been committed to getting fuel efficiency standards in place, and we saw what happened to him. We also know the member for Bradfield, he was all for them for a period of time, probably before he told them he wouldn't have a future.
Thank you, Minister. The time for answering has expired. Senator Canavan, first supplementary.
Thank you, Madam President. Minister, if the Albanese Labor government is so certain that your car tax will not lead to higher car prices and drive up the cost of living for Australians, why is the government preventing the Senate from seeing the government's calculations and hiding behind a public interest immunity claim? Why won't you honour the Prime Minister's promise of greater transparency and release the modelling?
Thank you, Senator Canavan. Minister Gallagher.
Thank you. Well, there is no evidence to suggest that the new vehicle efficiency standard will increase vehicle prices. In jurisdictions that have had that standard in place for some time, sometimes up to 50 years, and I know the National Party like to go back in time, but it's like they want to go back beyond 50 years. Real-world evidence has shown not shown an increase in price for consumers. What we are trying to do here is make sure that we have more fuel-efficient vehicles. Tick. Make sure there's choice for
Minister
consumers.
Gallagher.
And make sure the cost of operating a car
Minister are Gallagher, lower. Please resume your seat. I'm going to wait for silence, Senator Canavan, then I'll come to you. Senator Canavan.
Thank you, Madam President. Just a point of order on relevance. This question was specifically about releasing the modelling, which has been subject to an order of production of documents request of this chamber, and I just ask that the minister be brought to the question about why they're refusing and ignoring that order of production for documents.
Thank you, Senator Canavan. Your question also went to driving up costs. That was the opening statement to your question. I believe the minister's being relevant, and I will continue to listen. Minister.
Thank you. And we have released an impact statement, 80 pages, which I'm sure you've pored over. And I would go back to what Mr Fletcher said. There wasn't
Senator
a material
McKenzie.
Change in price, and we don't expect that there would be a material change in price here. And I would remind those opposite, when you were in government, before you nobbled it, probably at a National Party
Senator
meeting,
O'Sullivan.
They proposed much tighter targets for 2025
Thank
than
you,
under
Minister,
our
the time
proposal.
For answering
wow,
has expired. Senator Canavan, second Minister, resume your seat. Senator Canavan, second supplementary.
Thank you, Madam President. Minister, this morning you were asked on ABC Radio whether you accept that people are concerned about Labor's new family car tax and that it's a live issue in the electorate that people are concerned about, that their car prices will increase. You said, I accept that. Why is the government so determined to introduce a family car tax on SUVs, four-wheel drives and utes that is so extreme most hybrid cars will also be subject to Labor's family car tax, and drive up the cost of living for all Australians?
Thank you, Senator Canavan. Minister Gallagher.
Well, thank you. I wasn't asked that question. That has a Canavan flourish to it. But, Senator Canavan, you are raising a concern. You are raising a concern, so my answer to that was correct. I accept that there are people, including all of the National Party, I presume, that have concerns about this. But then I went on to say that this is about driving choice, getting more fuel efficiency, involve yourself in the consultation program. You can't just go around killing every proposal just because you think it might be positive for the climate, which is the approach that you have taken. This is a sensible reform. We are consulting on it. Those consultations will close on the 4th. We know that Mr Fletcher, we know that Senator Sharma, we know that Mr Frydenberg all supported this with tighter targets than the ones that are being proposed in the consultation document. And we look forward to that being completed. I ask that all further questions be placed on the notice paper.